Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
A bank customer was arrested after allegedly using a hammer to beat an ATM after he couldn't get his card back out of the machine.
Do you have a hammer for your ATM?
I keep it, in my center console.
Right.
Employees of the Bank of America were in a meeting a few minutes before 9 a.m. Saturday when they heard loud noises and yelling outside the bank. When they looked out the window, they saw a man yelling at the ATM. And rocking it back and forth while demanding in a loud voice that the machine give his card back.
Calm down. Have you used a hammer yet?
Well, the man went back to the pickup truck and retrieved a hammer, which he used to beat the ATM machine. After striking the ATM several times, he got into his truck and drove away. Damage to the ATM was estimated to be about $3,000. Employees provided photos of the man and his truck. Police ran the plate number of the truck. It came back as registered to 56-year-old Del Mitchell Scotty. When officers went to Scotty's home, he met them at the front door and immediately said, "You must be here because of the ATM."
At least he's honest.
He went on to say,
"Would you boys like some snickerdoodles?"
That he became very frustrated when he could not get the ATM to return his bank card. He was placed under arrest and charged with a criminal mischief charge over $1,000.
To be honest, I think we've all been there at one point.
So I had to check up the validity of this story. I've seen these before in the past, and I can't believe this still happens. And I saw multiple news sources reporting this. Six people, including three children, were killed at a festival in India after their throats were sliced open by kite strings.
Oh,
I heard about this. Yeah.
This has happened in the past. Why do they still do this? The victims, including two girls who were 2 and 3 years old and a boy who was 7, got their necks caught in the sharp strings during kite duels at the Uttarayan Festival in Gujarat, in India. One of the young girls was on a two-wheeler with her dad when a kite string became wrapped around her neck and cut her throat. Kismet, a 3-year-old, was walking home with her mom when her throat was sliced by a kite string. And a 7-year-old was killed in front of his parents when a kite string cut his throat as well. These were all in different cities,
How much more? You're flying a kite,
yeah,
and you're murdering people.
Some 200 people also suffered injuries due to cuts and falls while they were flying kites. 3 men were also killed. Kite fighting contests are held across the western state of Gujarat and frequently cause death and serious injury. The aim of the contest is to cut other kites with the kite string, which is reinforced with metal and sometimes glass powder.
This seems pretty stupid.
2 children were killed in 2016, including a 3-year-old girl who died within minutes of a cord wrapping around the throat. This is messed up. They need to rethink that one.
How about extreme hopscotch?
That's insane. Wow. All right. A man from the island of Dominica in the Caribbean said that he survived for 24 days while lost at sea on a sailboat by eating ketchup before he was rescued.
No sea sticks?
No. Elvis Francois said, "I had no food. There was only a bottle of ketchup that was on the boat, garlic powder, and bouillon cubes."
Ketchup soup.
He said, "So I mixed it up with some water for me to survive 24 days in the sea." That's a long time to survive on a bottle of ketchup.
How big was this bottle? Was it like from Costco?
Bouillon cubes. Even that, man. He collected rainwater and a cloth to help him stay hydrated. Mr. Francois carved the words "help" into the boat in hopes that a passing plane might see him and call for rescue.
He should have written it in ketchup.
Ultimately found 128 nautical miles northwest of Puerto Bolivar. Mr. Francois said that during his time lost at sea, he did see other vessels, but did not manage to catch their attention. He even lit a fire on the boat in one attempt to hail another ship. Yeah.
Pressed it on the seat he was sitting on, there was underneath 1 gallon of mustard.
What? Oh, my God.
"It looks like ketchup. It tastes like ketchup. But, brother, it ain't ketchup."
I'm kind of in your camp. I'm finding 24 days on ketchup and bouillon a stretch.
Mr. Francois managed to catch the attention of a passing plane with a mirror, and that is how he was rescued. Let's see here. Sexual noises interrupted live BBC television coverage of a soccer competition.
Oh yeah.
And what the presenter later referred to as an amusing form of sabotage. The BBC apologized after the incident, which took place as Gary Lineker was covering the FA Cup and moaning could be heard in the background. Lineker later posted a photo of a cell phone that had been found taped to the back of the set. And he wrote, as sabotage goes, it was quite amusing. He later told the BBC's Two Night News that the moaning sound had been so loud in the studio, it was hard for him to hear the audio coming through the ear, his earpiece and continue presenting.
I think we might have a clip of this. Do a little check, Case.
Oh, okay.
While he initially thought someone's phone was accidentally playing a video that had been sent to it, he soon realized that it must be some sort of prank. And then the taped cell phone was found. The prank is known as Gimidio Dozap, or the Big WhatsApp Moan.
Ah.
And it originated in Brazil, but in this case, YouTube prankster Daniel Jarvis took credit for pulling off the stunt, video of which has been widely circulated on social media.
Is this it? Because the guy's name is Gary, right?
Oh, Gary!
That's it. That's it.
All right, listen to this story. A couple of friends found a kid in their trunk after their hour-long trip home from the Bills game to Amherst. A couple of friends were at the Buffalo Bills game, and the Bills win. They leave and drive from Orchard Park all the way home to Amherst, which takes about an hour. When they got out of the truck, they realized that someone was making a noise in the bed of the truck. Obviously, the friends are concerned and maybe a little frightened, but they realize that someone has been back there for an entire hour that it took them to get home. So they rolled up the cover that was on the back. So this bed was completely covered.
Yeah.
And there is, in fact, someone lying there. And was the kid drinking? What happened? Well, apparently, he thought that it was his dad's truck. Luckily, the two men who found him welcomed him inside, gave him a phone charger until he could get a ride. Steve Serku wrote on his Instagram, "Kid was super nice. Just mistaked my truck for his dad's. Rode over an hour, passed out in my truck bed. He came inside, watched the rest of the Giants game while we were waiting for his parents to pick him up. Honest mistake. Best part was, after he got inside and he was settled down, he goes, I know I've been a nuisance with the truck bed and all, but can I borrow a charger?
Oh, my God.
And so they managed to
get
him back home.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
A man accused of attempting to abduct a barista.
Yes.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah. Drive-through.
Dude, this is crazy.
Well, he is in court. They got him, and he appeared in court on Wednesday. A judge found probable cause for attempted kidnapping with sexual motivation and assault and set Matthew Darnell's bail at $500,000, a formal charging decision is expected probably by today.
It was so scary, though. Did you see? He had some sort of zip tie thing?
Yeah, so surveillance video shows Darnell trying to pull the barista into his car as she was handing him cash at the drive-thru window early Monday morning. And when he couldn't grab the woman, he tried to throw a zip tie around her head. He had like a looped thing that he was going to try. I've never seen, you know, an abduction through a window before like
so
that?
Is this one of these?
Then he would still have to pull her into the vehicle.
But that's what I was thinking of that. Like, if he's attempting to do this, well, he's an idiot anyway. But yeah. That must be, like, that's got to be tight. And if he would have gotten that around her, he probably would have been able to pull her out of
the
window.
Well, he could have killed her, too.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're moving ahead and things could fall between the vehicle and the wall. Yeah. Is that one of those bikini coffee places where the baristas wear bikinis?
Oh, I
thought
know.
I'd read
was
that.
It?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
I thought that was a joke.
No.
They exist?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
The woman was able to fight off Darnell, and he quickly drove away in a dark gray SUV. Police posted the surveillance video on social media on Tuesday in hopes of identifying him. They also noted a large tattoo on his left forearm that appears to read Chevrolet. So it was a very identifiable tattoo. Good. So
glad they got him.
Yep. An art gallery owner in San Francisco is facing charges after footage of him hosing down a homeless woman went viral. The video, which was posted on social media, showed Collier Gwynn, owner of Foster Gwynn Gallery, using a garden hose to spray a woman sitting on a nearby sidewalk. San Francisco District Attorney Brooke Jenkins announced that her office has issued an arrest warrant for Gwynn. She'd said that Gwynn is charged with misdemeanor battery for the alleged intentional unlawful spraying of water on and around a woman experiencing homelessness. She went on to condemn the vandalism of Gwynn's gallery, stating that it's also completely unacceptable and that must stop. Two wrongs don't make a right. I think people have been vandalizing the place since this video surfaced. If convicted, Gwynn faces up to 6 months in county jail. It could also be ordered to pay a $2,000 fine. Now, Gwynn said that he's called police and social services regarding the woman, who he says can be disruptive. He said the whole neighborhood is part of this situation. He said the police force is part of the situation. The city and social services is part of it. They've been repeated attempts to try and help this woman who is psychotic. He said there's absolutely nothing that can be done. They'll take her to a shelter, and then they'll turn her out in 2 days, and they'll take her to a hospital, and they'll release her within a day. He said in the moments before the video was filmed, he tried to help her move her belongings down the street and sprayed her with water when she refused. So he's got his side of the story, too.
Yeah, I can understand the frustration.
But it's pretty bad to be hosing down a homeless person out on the street.
Well, so. Also, despite what you might think, it happened to be very, very cold that day. Like, brutally cold.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, you can't do that. You definitely can't do that. In Delray Beach, Florida, a woman was pulled from a storm drain for the third time in just over 2 years on Wednesday.
Stay out of the storm drain!
We've talked about this woman before.
I remember this.
Yes. Police say that they responded to a call of someone possibly in distress while swimming in a canal. When officers asked the woman if she needed help, police said she ignored them and climbed into a storm drain pipe. The woman refused to come out and began crawling further into the pipe. Firefighters were able to contain the woman between two sections of pipe. Police said fire rescue special operations team members used a ladder and a rescue harness to get her out. The woman, identified as Lindsay Kennedy, appears to have minor injuries. She was taken to the hospital for evaluation. Now, police said Kennedy was also rescued from a storm drain in March of 2021. She was reported missing by her boyfriend at that time. 20 days later, fire rescue crews found her stuck in a storm drain. She told officials that she entered the drain system after swimming in a canal, but later got lost and wandered through the tunnels for weeks.
She likes it down there.
2 months after that incident, the news station reported that police in Texas said Kennedy was missing. She was later found in a storm drain in Grand Prairie, Texas as well. That's on the other side of the country.
Hands up. Queen of the storm drain.
Yeah. So
this is my kingdom.
Very, very strange. All right, this happens every now and then. A home in Ferguson Township, Pennsylvania, that does not use heating oil received a delivery of the fuel that made its way into the sump pump and into a nearby waterway earlier this month. So they pumped
oil.
Oil
into a house that doesn't take oil.
To this house. I remember when this happened before. We had taken calls from people who do this for a living, and they said sometimes they have old, outdated systems where there was an oil heater inside the home.
Right.
And so there's still piping and nozzles outside. They just go to nothing now.
No.
And so somebody plugged into this thing and pumped what they say was about 100 gallons of fuel into this home. So apparently it went into the sump pump, and now that has gone out into the creeks and so on. So they got to do a massive cleanup in this whole thing. A contractor has been procured by the responsible party to provide environmental remediation. Cleanup will be done using a vacuum truck in the homeowner's basement and booms and pads on the water.
What's the company that does the reclamation after, flooding and spills like this? They're known. They're like the company after hurricanes and stuff like that, or flooding. Yeah, it's amazing what they can do, but that's going to be a tall order.
Yeah. Let's see. A man became violently ill over the weekend after eating a Taco Bell burrito that contained rat poison.
Ew.
And the sheriff's office is investigating how the poison ended up in there. Listen to this. So the sheriff's office responded to the Taco Bell for a report of a disturbance. Deputies found that there had been a heated exchange between a customer and employees due to the soda machine not working.
Mm-hmm.
The customer was eventually given an extra burrito and went home.
I think this is one of those rat poison cases.
Several hours later, about 7:50 p.m., a hospital contacted the sheriff's office and reported that they were caring for a patient who had eaten a Taco Bell and ingested rat poison.
Mm.
The hospital confirmed there was indeed rat poison in the burrito. Investigators determined that the sick individual was the same person involved in the earlier disturbance.
Uh-huh.
Deputies responded to his home. The hospital and Taco Bell went to the hospital and Taco Bell and began to investigate. They learned from the victim that he had gone home, done chores, and watched some TV before eating the food items he had purchased earlier at Taco Bell. He said he became immediately violently ill and called 911. He was taken by ambulance to the hospital, and it was confirmed that there was rat poison in the food. Surveillance video from both the interior and exterior areas of the Taco Bell was collected as evidence. So I think an employee was a little pissed off at this guy.
There's no chance if it's prepared right, you could eat it.
I don't know. Yeah. I've never looked into cooking rat poison before, so we'll have to see.
You got to make it the right way. It's like a blowfish.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.